Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and today we're talking about one of our favorite topics, Tim, movies, or in your case, popcorn.
That's right. To me, as you know, movies are my excuse to get a large 55-gallon drum of buttered popcorn.
And eat it all.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
My problem is I'm a fairly disciplined person, but when it comes to popcorn, I'm a little reckless. If I get a small, I eat the small. If I get a large, I eat the large. It doesn't matter. So I have to get a smaller one.
So you don't eat
because I just keep going to the end.
Well, these things happen. But today we're zeroing in on some of the movies that we feel like not just are some of our favorite movies, but actually have this sort of leadership undertone to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So the question you and I were talking about prior to this recording was, what makes a movie a leadership movie?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to volley out first here. I think because great stories are what make great movies, and every story has a conflict, and there's someone who influences the conflict, almost any movie can be a leadership movie.
Yeah. Any movie at all, right?
Dumb and Dumber.
Hey, I think Dumb and Dumber's...
I'm not saying.
It's a fantastic leadership movie,
right? It is, absolutely.
You've got two guys who are committed to reaching their goal.
That's right.
No matter what. Teamwork's involved there.
That's right.
They're influencing tons of people along the way, for good or ill.
Strong character because they write post-it notes on what they owe.
That's right.
After they use the money.
Do you remember with the Lamborghini? And he says, 350 thou. Might want to keep that one.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. But they do reach the goal.
So maybe it's not the best leadership movie of all time. Certainly not. But there are a lot of really great leadership movies out there, and we wanted to talk about a few of these. In fact, you posted about this, I guess, a year or two ago.
Yeah, a few years ago. And we added I think we put together a great list, but what was fun was our readers of the blog sent us a whole bunch more. So today the list includes not just ones we thought were great, but many of our subscribers.
Yeah, they've sort of shaped this list along the way. If you, as listening right now, have not seen these, we would definitely suggest them as, like, check this out, utilize it in your conversations with the next generation, because it can be a really great tool to start a great conversation.
So let me start by saying some of these movies are rated PG, parental guidance, some are rated R.
Yep.
You may want to watch the R ones first.
Yeah, viewer discretion advised.
There you go. Yeah. I've heard that before.
So yeah, that's been somewhere before.
I see what you did there. Okay, so the very first one, it's one of my favorite movies of all time, and certainly my favorite leadership movie, is a movie called The Last Castle. Mm. It came out years ago, decades ago. Robert Redford plays this four-star general who has disobeyed on the front lines his federal government, the chief executive officer in the White House, and so he's court-martialed, he loses his stars and stripes, and he's put in prison. But it's a military prison, and it looks like a castle, so it's called The Last Castle. But in this movie, even though he's an inmate, everyone recognizes this is a four-star general we got among us in the lunchroom, in the courtyard. And all of them are from the military. So there's Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, but they're all wanting to salute this guy because they've been trained. And he starts changing their identity. Even though he's not getting paid a dime and they're not getting paid to follow him, they start following this fellow inmate who leads them. Mm. He says things like, "What are you in for?" And the guy said, "Well, possession of marijuana." And he said, "How long do you have it?" "Well, about 30 minutes. So he said, "So you were a criminal for 30 minutes, but the other 23 hours and 30 minutes of that day, you actually were a doggone good soldier." And he calls them out to the better part of them, the best version of them. And so he changes their identity. And I'll just stop here because I don't want to give it away. But he ends up recognizing the warden in this prison is leading so pitifully that he leads the fellow inmates to take over the prison. It's fab. It's a great movie on influence. No, don't use it for rebellion. It's a rebellious movie.
Yeah.
But influence and the higher road and what he does without weapons at all is he changes the hearts of hundreds of men.
That's amazing. It sounds like he has the leadership skills of a great leader, but he's put in a position where he's sort of leading from the side.
Yeah,
right? These are peers in the prison that he's able to influence. And
it's a perfect illustration of the 360-degree leadership idea.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
That you influence around you and down, even when you don't have a badge.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
Good.
All right.
Well, take us to another one.
Yeah, so this is one of my favorite movies of all time, but I'm ashamed to say, even though it's been out for many decades, I didn't see it till about a year ago, but it was like one of those things that was amazing. And the movie is called 12 Angry Men. Mm. 12 Angry Men. Many of you guys have probably seen that. Like I said, it's been around for decades. But what's amazing about this movie in black and white is that it is absolutely compelling, But it all the entire movie takes place in the back jury room of a courtroom.
Yeah, yeah.
All around this court case that's going on about a young man who's been accused of murder and whether or not that man did it or not. And what's amazing is the debate that goes on between the 12 jurors in the back. Some of it maybe showing their biases, some of it showing their interests and their values.
Yeah, and to me, some of them just want to get out of it. They just vote and let's get out. Let's
a couple of guys are like, let's just be done with this, right? Yeah. And what's amazing is it starts as an 11-1. That's the very first vote that's
overwhelming
cast.
Majority.
Yeah, the overwhelming majority say this kid's guilty. And then over time, through debate and different reveals that are going on about the characters of the people in the room, you start to see who's actually in the room. I loved it so much in terms of a leadership movie because especially that one guy, right, the one of the 11, is able to influence and call into question maybe the motives and the values of the people in the room. And he's able to basically, I think it's a character movie, but it's also a movie about influence. Yeah. How do you influence somebody? How do you help them make decisions? How do you see what do people individually value and sort of get the best out of them?
Yeah. And once again, leadership without a badge or a title.
Yes.
He's not in charge of this group, but he influences the group.
Totally. Yeah. Great.
So Andrew, the third one we decided to talk about was one that came out more recently than that one. But it was called The King's Speech.
Yes.
If viewers or listeners, you haven't seen that, I highly recommend it.
It's an amazing
movie. Based on a true story. So the king of England, actually the father of Queen Elizabeth, so this took place in the first part of the 20th century, has a real speech impediment. He's nervous. He stutters. He can't talk well. And of course, if you're the king, you got to make a few speeches during your tenure.
Yep.
So he enlists. Actually, he coerced. His wife takes him to a speech pathologist to work with him. And if you remember the bond that these two men begin to build over this brokenness that he has.
Yes.
But he begins to instill not only the ability, the skill to make a speech, but the emotional strength to do it.
Yeah.
Because
it's really about resilience.
Yeah, in many ways it is, because he goes back to his boyhood and the king had some real troubled years as a young boy. Mm. And even though he's not a psychologist, he walks him through, let's get you healthy, let's have you talking. And of course, at the end of the movie, he makes this incredible speech over the radio to the entire nation. And you just see them embrace. And it's a great movie on relationships, on earned influence, and on finding what's really inside if you get past all the brokenness that lies inside of us as humans.
Yeah, the strengths and gifts we really possess.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful. I love that movie so much.
Yep. All right, take us to the next one. It's a sports movie.
I love, when we sent out, when we talked about leadership movies originally, we had a whole bunch of people send us movies back. The vast majority of them were sports movies.
Yeah.
Because they're some of the greatest examples of leadership out there. Yeah. But probably one of the top ones has to be the movie Miracle, right? Mm-hmm. About the 1980s U.S. hockey team.
Yeah.
And Herb, what's his last name?
Brooks.
Who led that team. And just the amazing leadership that he displayed, how each of the players had to end up sort of letting go of their separate individual identities or maybe the identities of the teams they belonged on before and to find a new identity together. Yeah. In fact, I think every time I think of that movie, I think of that one scene, and you and I have talked about it before, where he's got every amazing player in the U.S. at that point. They're all there to try out for the U.S. Olympic hockey team, and I think he makes the decision within just a couple of hours or a couple of days about who he wants. And one of the guys who's organized it comes together and says, you haven't even looked at some of the best players. And he said, I don't need the best players. I need the right players.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah, and it's such a great leadership example of what does it take to actually pull people together and achieve a goal. He knew exactly what he was looking for. I love
that. So I love the fact that this illustrates, all of them illustrate some of our habitudes, but this one's chess and checkers. Mm. He played chess, finding what pieces he need to win the match. Not just, we want all kings. We want all rooks or knights. He didn't want all that. He wanted the right players. And I love the fact that, once again, it's called Miracle because it was a miracle that we beat the Soviet Union in 1980.
Indeed it
when
was,
they had the best hockey team in the world, and we had a bunch of college students, but we won because of good, solid leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great movie, man. If you just want to like feel like America, man, that is the one. That'll get me going every time. So,
all right,
number five.
Number five, it's a war movie. So not a sports movie, but a war movie, Patton.
Mm.
So based on true story, World War II, the life of General Patton, who served with Dwight Eisenhower, who was also a general, one more star, I think, than he had.
Indeed.
And later became the president. But Patton was a brilliant, resilient, strong leader who was really a big part of the reason why the Allied forces won in World War II. But if you remember, after the war's over, he continues on and leads much of the work in the post-World War II aftermath. And part of the reason this is a great movie is it shows not only his strength during wartime, but it shows his strong opinions on how we were handling the post-World War II aftermath. And he got removed from office because he was too vocal.
Wow.
And so it's a great discussion starter, Andrew, on where is strength good and where do you need to draw the line and say, I don't need to comment on that. Or if you do, get ready to say, I may pay a price here for voicing my conviction.
Yeah, it's such a great example of a lot of those things. The honesty that's required of really great leaders and knowing when is my time to speak and when is my time not to speak.
Yeah. So one of the habitudes, real quick, that it comes to mind, half-hearted mountain climber. Mm. This guy is not a half-hearted mountain climber. He's climbing to the top, come hell or high water, if I can use that French word there. He gets to the top, and it's because he's absolutely committed to his goal. And unfortunately, his goal collided just a little bit with his overseeing government, and he paid a bit of a price. But he would say it was my conviction.
Yep. Yeah. And he had to follow it no matter what.
Yeah.
We can definitely learn something from that.
Yeah. So take us to our next one.
Yeah. So number six, the sixth one we want to talk about is one that probably everybody has seen.
Yeah.
It's the movie Braveheart. And Braveheart is obviously a very difficult movie to watch, rated R. It has a lot of violence, but I would say it's a very realistic take on both that point in history, but also just the brutality of the time, you know. What it took to succeed. So, of course, this is the movie, the story of William Wallace, a Scottish peasant who leads a revolt of peasants against England at the time. And they fight a very long and difficult war. And he kind of has this mentality of the goal for him ultimately is freedom. We have to overthrow these basically slave masters in England and achieve success and freedom no matter what the cost is.
Yeah.
So there's so many different stories there about sacrifice and passion and all those things. But I know one of the things you and I talk about a lot with it is focus.
Yeah.
Clear vision. And I think that's what William Wallace had. That's why he became a legend, is because he knew exactly what needed to be achieved and he was going to find and achieve that mission no matter what. That's why people followed him.
Absolutely. So you're right. Rivers and floods. He was a river when really the much larger army, England, was a flood.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think he gave him a box top to the puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the box top is needed when you put a puzzle together because it gives you the big picture. He was the man who took all those puzzle pieces, the different nobles, the different clans that didn't even like each other, and made them one picture because he gave him the box top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about so many scenes in that movie. Such a fantastic example of even sacrificial leadership.
Yeah.
Yeah. A difficult story, but one in which you will definitely, definitely start a conversation of meaning about what does it mean to lead people.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
All right. Take us to number seven.
All right. Number seven. It's a real favorite of mine, but I forgot to put it in the original list and someone scolded me.
Yes.
And
they showed up and corrected your mistake.
This is true. But I need people to do that.
Yes.
Why you get married is why you have subscribers.
That's right.
So it's called The Emperor's Club. And so this is not necessarily based on a true story, but it's based on a true scenario that happens over and over and over again. So this is a private boys' school. That's the setting.
Mm.
And there is a teacher at the beginning who later becomes the head of school. But Kevin Kline plays this teacher who teaches his boys, 12-year-old boys, early on the power of character and integrity. And there's a great scene in the beginning that he practices every year, but you see it start, the movie starts with this, how he talks about how when people are given to doing what's right, rather than making a name for themselves, they end up having a legacy. So what I love about this story is you start with that scene and you see these young 12, 13-year-old boys in the history class, but the movie fast forward into where those boys become men.
Wow.
And they have a reunion and they come back and they play out the contest that took place every year where there's questions about leaders and they redo the contest. Well, one of the young men, he's now a man, he used to be a boy, wants to win this so bad he cheats.
Mm.
And Kevin Kline, the head of school, realizes he hasn't learned the lesson. And at the end of the movie, he says, I failed you. You didn't learn the character lesson I wanted for you all along. I don't want to give it all away. There's some poignant moments toward the end, but boy, does it make you think about what really matters in life. It's relationships, it's integrity, It's not fame or money. And this one kid that became a man, it really was all about fame and money and politics. Mm. So you just are crushed for him. But you say, thank God someone took a stand here and waved a flag for character.
What a fantastic story. Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, take us to our next one.
All right, so the next one is a more recent movie. It came out last year in 2017. It's called The Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
A movie about the beginning, really, of World War II as Winston Churchill was stepping in for the first time into his leadership role over England. And it's such an amazing story when you think about even just the history of Churchill. And I know you've studied him quite a lot, pretty extensively. But I would say you get the sense as you're watching that movie that he was the right leader for that moment.
No doubt about it. Yeah.
And that's maybe one of the most significant things that can be said about Churchill, because he was bold, he was unapologetic, he fought through and cut right through all the politics of the time, all because he understood the need of the hour.
Yeah.
I think that's why this movie was titled so well. He understood the need of the hour and exactly what needed to happen in order to succeed.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful picture and vision of what a leader looks like in a moment of crisis.
Yeah. So. What I love about it is Winston Churchill actually replaces Neville Chamberlain, the prime minister prior to him, who didn't have the strength at the time that was needed to face Hitler. And he kept saying, we can just diplomatically, navigate this and so forth. And Churchill said, that's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And so when he was called up in the darkest hour, he led him to their finest hour and made that great speech. But you're right. If you want to look at a movie that illustrates the strength and courage that's needed in a time of crisis, this is a great, great picture of it.
Especially for a man who was really at the end of his career, right?
Yeah.
He's really thinking, I'm retiring, I'm headed on out, and all of a sudden he steps into his most important leadership role.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, let's do the next one. Probably, Tim, the greatest sports movie of all time.
It could be.
Many people would say that.
Yeah, many people would say that. So it's based on a true story. The movie is Rudy.
Rudy.
My guess is if you're listening or watching right now, you're nodding. Yes, I remember
that
movie.
You're probably chanting right now.
Yeah, that's right. Rudy. Rudy. Yes.
That's right.
So, we had Rudy speak for our National Leadership
Forum. That was before my time. But,
and yes, it was kind of funny because one of our interns picked him up at the airport and he couldn't find him right away. So he started going, Rudy, Rudy. Yeah, it was awesome. It was just awesome. It was a great moment. It's a great moment.
I love that.
So anyway, this movie, I'm sure you've seen it, but let me just remind you again, based on a true story of this small, young high schooler that dreamed of playing football at Notre Dame, University of Notre Dame. And of course, he's too small. He doesn't weigh enough. He's not big enough for a Division I football club, but he works and works and works. And he says, I want to cut the grass on the football stadium just to be in the stadium. Mm-hmm. You know, all those things. You see a work ethic that was impeccable, and he earns his spot.
Yes.
Now, he's just a practice player. He gets on the 100-man squad, but he's helping the starters.
He's there to get hit, basically.
That's right. He's a punching bag.
Yeah.
But if you remember, at the end of the movie, he has earned his time where he gets to actually play a little bit of time. I think, what was it, a minute or two?
Yeah.
In a real game against Georgia Tech.
Yep.
And he gets carried off the field because he makes a tackle. And, of course, carried off the field, played 2 minutes. But he put in years earning that
Everybody
right.
in the stadium knew exactly what he had worked to achieve that goal.
And, of course, his own players, Rudy.
Yep.
Rudy. And it was just, you got to bring your handkerchief or your Kleenex to that to the viewing of that movie. But it's a great picture, in case you're wondering. It's a great picture of grit.
Mm.
What can grit do that I may lack in weight, size, and talent?
Mm.
What he lacked in talent and size and weight, he made up for in grit.
Yeah, and we may not have had that word back then like we do now. Yeah. Now we know how much of of a need that is for leaders is to have grit. So, we're going from a movie that probably a lot of us have seen to a movie probably very few of us have seen. In fact, you were telling me about it for the first time, one called Taps.
Yeah, fantastic movie. I need to rewatch this. Mm-hmm. In fact, when we were talking about it, I thought, I need to watch this movie again. So it's a boys' military school that has been around for 150 years or so, something like that. But due to real estate obligations and due to some mistakes that happen with guns, the community wants them to shut it down, end the school. And so I think the general who's in charge or the officer who's in charge has to tell the boys one day, we're going to shut the school down. This is our last graduation class. Well, the young boys who've learned about conviction and honor and are idealistic say, we can't shut this school down. So you have really a face-off between the young cadets who are learning about all these ideals.
Yeah.
And the adults that they think are compromising
yeah,
the
failing
ideals.
Failing to live out the
yes.
things that they said were important.
And so it's a tragic movie, but it's a powerful movie on how long do you stand for what you believe in? Mm-hmm. And do you have the convictions to really live and die for them? So Tom Cruise is in this, Timothy Hutton, Sean Penn, some of these great stars we know today that are 50 years old.
They were really young back
they
then.
They were very young mm-hmm. back then, 1981, I think this movie came out. So it's worth seeing if you like conviction, if you like take a stand, what do I really stand for, what am I willing to die for?
Mm-hmm.
And these boys eventually, well, I can't give it away. I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah.
But it's a great picture of where does
with a powerful ending.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good.
You want to lead us to our next one?
Yeah, so let's talk about the next one. This is a movie that probably many of us have seen. Another hard one to watch, but it's a movie called Glory. Glory.
Yes, great movie. What I love about this movie is it's the true story. It's during the Civil War, so it's 1863, 64, 65, where the very first African-American troop in the Union Army is assembled, and a very young lieutenant colonel takes over. And Matthew Broderick plays the part, and he's very young at that point. He's now in his 50s, but he's probably in his 20s or 30s back then. Very young general, and you can just tell he is sheepish.
Yep.
First of all, you give me a very hard task to lead this group of men that I don't even know if they want to be here. They want to be free is what they want.
Yeah.
But he leads them, and he has to earn his stripes, figuratively speaking, all over again. And if you remember, he builds friendships with some of the black
respect
soldiers.
Respect is earned on both
That's
sides.
That's right, yeah. And he has to earn, even though he's got the authority and the badge, what he has to do is earn it through relationship.
Mm.
So you see in this movie very moving scenes, emotional scenes, where Matthew Broderick wins over Denzel Washington, this rebel. Morgan Freeman, you know, he was in this too.
Yeah.
Incredible relationships are established. And these African-American soldiers start seeing this young white leader that I've got actually believes in me.
Yeah.
Actually loves me. Actually is making sure I got the right shoes to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And that never happened before when they were slaves. So I don't want to be too blunt here, but it's a great story of how you earn leadership.
Mm.
You know what reminds me of? The phrase we often use, leadership rises based on providing the scarcest resource.
Mm.
He provided a scarce resource that these African-American soldiers had never seen. Trust, belief. Oh, my gosh. Powerful.
Things that were not a part of their vocabulary
That's right.
up
That's
to that
right.
point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. All right, Tim, you've got another one. Let's talk about this one.
Yes. Well, so far our movies have been a lot of men,
some
males, but there's been some great movies about
Amazing.
Female
yeah.
leaders. Iron Lady
was
a fantastic movie that came out years ago about Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister of England, a lady leader during Ronald Reagan's day.
Yes.
In fact, Ronald Reagan and she and Margaret got very, very close, and he was an encourager too when sometimes people didn't know how to handle a female leader.
Yes. Very strong-willed female leader who was able to achieve so much. Yeah.
So I love the fact that even though she might have grown up in a time when leaders weren't as strong as she was, she led the way. She paved the way for, I think, for women everywhere, not just in politics, to really say, take a stand and be strong and don't worry how others interpret it. So the Habitude, the velvet-covered brick, comes to mind when I think of Maggie Thatcher.
Yep.
Here's this woman that was velvet on the outside. She was delightful as a lady, professional. You know, everything's in place, everything's polished, as the British culture often is.
Yeah.
But then, boy, was she tough as a brick on the inside when she had to take a stand, and she did. She moved England forward economically and politically and militarily due to her strong leadership. In her case, the best man for the job was a woman. Okay, Andrew, let's have another one.
Yeah, so this one is also really interesting. It came out in 2015. It was a movie called Joy.
Yeah, loved it.
The main character, it's actually a true story, was played by Jennifer Lawrence. And this woman, Joy, grew up in a really sort of a troubled household. There were lots of
dysfunction
going on. But she was an entrepreneur. She was always inventing things. And she had a dream of inventing something that lots of people would use, that she could make lots of money. She started selling stuff on the street and in grocery stores and things. But she actually got an opportunity to pitch a product on QVC.
Yeah.
And what happened was, it really is the story of a young woman who fights and fights and fights to achieve her dream, no matter what it costs. Yeah. And I mean, she has setback after setback after setback. Some of it professional, some of it personal, some of it because just the fact that she's a woman in a man's world and people don't want to give her an opportunity. But as I was watching it, it reminded me of that habitude we have, small sprocket.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
The small sprocket that has to turn 100 times just to get anything done, just to turn that one sprocket or that bigger sprocket one time. And I think that she's a perfect example of what does it look like for a leader who says, I've got a dream, I know exactly what needs to get accomplished, and I'm going to do whatever it takes, no matter how long I have to work and try and do different things in order to achieve my dreams.
What I love is by the end of the movie, you realize she is no longer merely an entrepreneur. She is a leader.
Yes.
She is influencing others.
Yes.
Other women especially, which is really cool. So she paves the way for others to move forward because she has first gone herself.
Yeah, it's a great example of what does leadership, especially entrepreneurial leadership, look like. All right, so we're down to the last movie here.
All right, I want you to talk about this one.
Yeah, because this is one that's very much recent, and we added it to the list because we felt like it's a really great leadership example from recent history.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's an older story. It's a movie that you might have seen called The Greatest Showman, a story of P.T. Barnum, who really was the inventor of the circus as we know it today. But here's what I loved about it, and I'd love to hear from you, too. Okay. As I was watching it, what I saw is a man who had a very clear vision, a very bold vision, and who was able to bring marginalized people together and to basically all, they all turned it from these like marginalized people in different areas and they came together and said, we all believe that we have a place here.
Yeah.
And what he was able to do by giving people a vision, he actually also gave them an identity.
Yes.
They belonged together.
Yeah.
And that's what I love so much when I'm watching that movie and you start cheering for them as they're singing the songs together because you realize that that's the ultimate goal. In trying to achieve this vision, he actually ends up bringing people together, and that was his greatest gift.
So just to play off of what you said, not only does he bring a team of misfits together who really belonged on the island of misfit toys, you know, that sort of thing, the bearded lady, the tattooed man, the guy that's just big, you know, he's just big. It puts them together, and they become the better version of themselves because they do it together because some leader actually believed they could do it. I think in its essence, and I'm not the first one to say this, Andrew, but leaders do something that the average person can't when they make a person perform better than they would have without the leader.
Yes.
And so a group of, let's say,
they have the same amount of talent.
Yes, but 1 + 1 = 3.
Exactly.
Because of the leader. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great paradox of leadership, but it is so true.
Yeah.
And such a great picture of that.
Yeah. And I would just add, if there's anybody that wants to look at our original list, you can go to our blog page.
Absolutely.
And, you know, best leadership movies, and you'll see our list. And let me just say to listeners, if you'd like to add to this list, we welcome your input. We're always looking for movie clips because we suggest them. I'll let you
talk
about that in a minute.
That's exactly right.
But if you've got an addition, just
send us
direct
that
tweet at Tim Elmore and just give us a suggestion. You don't have to, you know, criticize me for not getting a complete list. Just give me your addition.
Just let us know we failed by adding one.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah, that would be awesome. We would love for you to weigh in. And if you're listening to this thinking, you know, because we believe movies are one of the greatest ways to start a conversation with the next generation, and we actually utilize them through our Habitudes curriculum. So those of you who may not be familiar, Habitudes actually has an online component. We call it Habitudes Online, and we fill it with all kinds of great resources for people who are leading Habitudes conversations. And one of those resources are movie clips. So when you hop on there, movie clip suggestions, we pull those direct from YouTube and kind of say, for every one of these Habitudes, we're going to give you 2, 3, sometimes 4 ideas on different movie clips you can utilize. So honestly, we talk to people and we're like, what's the most helpful thing that we give you? And they're like, movie clips.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you know, if you've ever used one to start a conversation, they're powerful ways to begin a conversation about leadership. So if that's something you're interested in, please hop on growingleaders.com, check that out. We also want to encourage you, if you've got different ideas for this podcast, different suggestions, shoot us an email. We've got an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. And then also, you would really help us out if you would hop on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast and give our podcast a rate. When you rate it, it sort of informs other people that this is a good thing to be a part of. So thank you so much for listening. Send us your movie suggestions, and we'll see you next time.